Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 4. I'll be looking there here in just a few moments. We as a people, we like to set up memorials to stuff. If you go to Washington, D.C., you'll see things like the Lincoln Memorial, the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, the Washington Monument, the Korean War Veterans Memorial, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. You go to New York City and you'll see the 9/11 Memorial or the Titanic Memorial. Some of our city parks have statues of memories in them. Sports stadiums, you put statues of the great ones outside your stadium as a memory of the great players that came through. Over the years, traveling in different places with youth in a college ministry, we would see churches, visit churches, and they would have these different kinds of memorials on things, and they would put these plaques in memory of. And you would see these things on, like, podiums and mirrors and tables. And my all-time favorite was the one that was a plaque put on a VCR, because nothing says long-term memory of someone like putting it on a VCR. And some of you kids are like, what even is that thing, a VCR? Those of you that are active on Facebook, you'll get on in the morning and maybe you'll click on that little tab that says memories and you'll see the things that you posted on this day in years past. We like memories. The idea of a memorial is that we want something that we don't want to forget. And in Joshua, God gives some instructions to construct a memorial for the Israelites, an important memorial. And so let me give you some context. What's happening here in Scripture is where we are. The spies have returned from Jericho, where they had been protected by Rahab, and they came back to Joshua, and they were telling him, look, the city is ready, and the people are fearful, and God is working, and it's ready to be taken. And the Jordan here is at flood stage. They're ready to cross, but it's at flood stage, and the water is overflowing, and crossing the Jordan right at this point is impossible for them to do, but it was not impossible for God. And so God, as we get into this passage, he stops the Jordan. He puts a giant wall, and there's a wall of water 20 miles wide, and the riverbed is completely dry, and the Israelites cross on this dry land. First, the Ark of the Covenant goes across, and then the rest of the Israelites walk on dry land. And I can imagine the people as they cross the Jordan or on the other side. I can imagine the shouts and the worship and the praise as they're beginning something new as they're on this side. And then God gives some instructions, and he tells Joshua to have a memorial built, 12 stones on dry ground and 12 stones in the river, one for each the tribes of Israel. And this was to be a memorial for future generations of God's faithfulness. And as we look at this passage this morning, I just believe it's important that we in our lives, we build memorials for the same reasons. We need to build memorials in our lives as lasting memories of God's faithfulness. And so as we read Joshua chapter 4 and as we discuss this passage here this morning, I believe there's some real practical things that we can look at and apply to our lives and some lessons in Joshua 4. So let's read together the first 9 verses of Joshua 4. Now when all the nations had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel, and they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Memorial set up as a current remembrance of his faithfulness, as they had just cross the Jordan. The event just happened. They are told to go back in and get these stones. While God was still working, while they could still see his presence, while there was no doubt of his presence, God commanded them to go and set up this memorial. They had no fear of returning into the Jordan because they had just walked through it. There was no fear that the water was going to come crashing down on them because they had just experienced being able to walk through just minutes before on dry ground. And so these 12 men, picture them. The 12 men had these stones, not little stones, not like me who likes to go skip rocks, you know, across the water, but these big stones. So they carried them on their shoulders and they took them to the other side and they piled them on the side of the promised land, just as God had commanded them. There was no fear of forgetting. Again, it just happened. The perfect time to set up a memorial. These stones were gathered to represent and remind them of God's faithfulness while they were experiencing the faithfulness. Memories are an interesting thing, and sometimes we do things while things are happening to build a memory. Memories that are important. Memories so that we don't forget. Memories that maybe will last us a lifetime. Several years ago, when my girls were very, very little, my wife and I were planning a vacation and deciding where to go on vacation. And I jokingly said, let's find out where the Cubs are playing and let's go on vacation there. And Rebecca says, okay. And I was, okay? So that's what we did. We ended up going down and spending some time in Texas and going on vacation, and we caught a Cubs-Rangers baseball game. And it just so happened to be the game where Sammy Sosa, who had played for the Cubs for many years, was now playing for the Rangers, hit his 600th home run. And so my girls all decked up in their Cubs stuff, and Sammy Sosa hits his home run, and the place goes crazy, and people are cheering, and fireworks are going off, standing ovation, cameras, everything. And my daughter is up, and she is, Abby especially, she's going crazy, just cheering, and I'm like, man, I raised this girl right, we're good to go. And then they announced that they have a limited number of pictures for that night of Sosa's home run, if you go get them, and so I have it in that box right there. I ran and got mine because I'm a baseball fan. And then the very next batter gets up and he hits a home run. The Rangers with back-to-back home runs. And Abby jumps up and she is screaming and cheering. And I'm like, Abby, that's the wrong team. And she looks at me and she says, I thought everybody was just cheering for the fireworks. Maybe I didn't raise her quite right. There are a lot of awesome things that God does in people's lives that we really do need to remember. I share with you a funny story about a baseball game, but there are some real memories in my life, things that God did that helped me remember his faithfulness. Like I remember being a little kid and coming to faith in Christ, a time when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I remember in college and when God called me to a lifestyle change, when God said to me, Ed, it's time to live a different way. I remember sitting at a missions conference in Louisville, Kentucky at Southern Seminary because I thought missions was really important for other people to do, and so I should go to this missions conference and support it. And sitting in a pew in the chapel and having God say to me, Ed, I'm calling you to do some ministry, and I have something different for your life. I remember traveling across the country from Indianapolis, Indiana to Casper, Wyoming to move here to do full-time ministry, and I was everything we had in a big yellow Ryder truck. And every single time that I see a yellow Ryder truck, I remember that event and God's calling me to Wyoming and the things that happened during that time. My 33rd year of life was an interesting year of life. I kind of fell apart that year. Some of you might still see me in slings and stuff later and think I'm still falling apart. But that year was an especially bad one. I had gallbladder surgery and shoulder surgery and knee surgery all in an 11-month period. And it was also the year that my father got really sick and ended up passing away that year. And there was a lot of other things that happened. And it was a very difficult year. But it's a year that I experienced so much of God's faithfulness. And so I often share the story of when I turned 33 and how my life fell apart, but how God was so good during that time. I shared with you my crisis of ministry calling when I was 40, when I was elk hunting. And every time that I go elk hunting and I pass those rocks where I sat and had a conversation with God, I remember that conversation. And I remember that time of wrestling with God and how God showed himself faithful to me. We adopted two boys, and as I think of the struggle of adopting and all the things that go through that, I'm reminded of this idea of God adopting me into his family And I think about when my boys do something and I'm just ready to just strangle them, and I'm saying, why would you do that? Sometimes I think, I wonder if God doesn't say that to me. Ed, why would you do that? Why are you being so ridiculous? Why are you doing that? It's a reminder to me as I look at those past struggles of this relationship that God has with us as His children, as He loves us. And even though my boys may frustrate me, they'll always be part of my family. As much as I frustrate God, He will never tell me, you're no longer a child of mine. And I'm so thankful for those memories and many, 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 many more. And there are ways that we can remember these things, and there are different ways that we should try to remember these things. It might be a prayer journal, and some of you are journalers, and maybe writing these things down is really good for you. Maybe you've made a decision at camp something or at some place, and you have a commitment card or something like that, and you just keep it in a place that's important to you. Maybe one of your memories is a Bible that was given to you at some point in your life that holds a special memory. But these are things that we have to have etched in our mind for a specific time when we experience God's faithfulness, and something that we can recall and bring back. Sometimes this memory can be something like a tribute written by your daughter when she's in elementary school. It's been a great source and a reminder to me when I feel like I'm struggling as a dad. And parents, you ever feel like you're struggling as a parent? When you feel like you're not doing it right? And you wonder if you're messing it all up, or maybe you're here and you're just as you're in ministry and you're saying, you know, man, is God even using me? Do I even have purpose? What is going on here? And maybe just walking with the Lord and you're just going through a time of struggle and you need some kind of a reminder that God is faithful. So my daughter wrote this when she was in elementary school, and it has been in my Bible ever since then. And every once in a while, when I go through those times of struggle as a dad, as a pastor, just as a child of God, I bring this out and I read it. And I just want to share this with you. And I asked her permission if I could do this. But this is written by Elizabeth. And she titles it, Dad, Best Dad Ever. I love my dad. He is funny and loving. We all play and hang out as one big family. Dad is brave and caring. Daddy is brave. He travels all over the world to tell others about Jesus. When I broke my head open, my dad held my hand and they glued my head back together. He would go to the ends of the earth for my sister and me. He loves us. Dad is caring. He protects my sister and me. He helps us when we are struggling. My dad helps me with my homework, and he puts others before himself. I love my dad for these reasons and more. When I grow up, I want to be as brave and caring as him. My dad is awesome, and I love him. And I wish I could tell you that every day of my life, I lived up to that. I wish I could tell you that was me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But there are times that that's not me. There are times it's not. And I am so thankful that I can just pull this out and get a gentle reminder of who God wants me to be. And my desire is to be the dad that my little girl thinks I am. And my dad is to be the believer that she believes me to be. And I need those reminders in my life as I grow in a relationship with Him. These lasting memories are things that carry us through. These are more than just fleeting memories in our life, but these are solid truths that will carry us through difficult times. Have we been there in difficult times? Have you ever struggled in your faith? Have you ever went through a time where you just struggled? Have you ever questioned God? Have you been a place in your life when you said, okay, God, I know that you have all things in your hands and your control of all things, but God, I don't get it. I don't understand why this is happening. I know that you know everything, but God, are you sure this is why you have those times of struggle? So I know so many people that have gotten to a point where they have walked away from their faith during times of crisis. At times of crisis, when times got hard, they say, I just can't do this anymore, and I walk away. And this is why that it's so important that we build these memorial stones in our life. That way, when these times of crisis comes and we can't see God in the moment, we can be reminded of God in the past. And the God that has been faithful in the past will be a God who will continue to be faithful in the future. In times of doubt, in times of death, in times of loss, our God is always going to be there. Israel, as they're sitting here in this context, they are faced with a daunting task of conquering the promised land. And as they go through, there's going to be victories and there's going to be defeats. And these stones were going to remind them that the God who stopped the Jordan, The God who they walk through, allow them to walk through on dry land, is the God who is going to be with them every day. And so when they go through difficulties in their future, they can look back and see these stones. Verse 6 says it's going to be a sign to their children. They can tell them about this event, a constant memory that God is working in their lives through the ups, through the downs of life. We need these remembrances of God's faithfulness. And these aren't just things we build up for great memories, but they guide us into the future. In verse 10, we pick up the narrative. For the priests who carried the ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was complete, and the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing, the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him, just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they should come from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. It came about when the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up from the middle of the Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and went over all of its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. So the Israelites crossed over. And they didn't just cross over with no purpose. They just didn't wander to the other side. I love the picture here. And I love what it says. They crossed over in battle array. I find this interesting. They crossed the Jordan with great expectation. They crossed the Jordan with great purpose. They were ready for what was coming next. They were prepared for what was next in their life. After having seen God work in the past, they had full confidence in God's ability to work into the future and carry them into the future. So they confidently went into the unknown. From this moment in their history, moving forward, as we're looking at this, they had no idea really what was going to happen next. They knew they were going to conquer the land, but they had no idea what it was going to look like. The pages were still written. You know, we can read the rest of the narrative ourselves, and we can read through Joshua. When they got to this point, they didn't have the rest of Joshua to read through. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they went prepared for the future, ready to go. There's no looking back. There's no going back. The Jordan is back to flood stage. And they built this memorial not on the other side, but on the side that they were going, marking a movement of God among his people, testifying that God was still going before them. And again, they could not go back. Things were not going to be like they used to be. The future was coming. We can't get stuck in the way things used to be. The Israelites had wandered in the wilderness complaining. Remember, they were complaining. Life was so much better in Egypt. I wish we could just go back to Egypt. And was life better in Egypt? Not a chance. But sometimes we get this mindset that things were better then. Things were better then. And the Israelites needed to understand that there was no then anymore. It was now in the future. And sometimes we need that same reminder. We can't get so caught up in the past that we forget that we have a future and God is leading us into the future. What does the future hold for us? We need to be forward thinkers, looking, okay, what is our plan of action? Moving in battle array, ready for what God has next. We've seen God work in the past. The memorial stones are there. We know God has continued to work. What does God have for us? And again, verse 11 says the Jordan returns to its place. And this is significant. This is a change. They were no longer wanderers. They are now becoming conquerors. What a great lesson for us. We don't have to be wanderers in this life. We can walk in this life as conquerors, as children of God. As children of God, conquerors in a new land, we see Israel. And we can live that same way. And this should be an example to us, and an example to those around us, an example to future generations. In verse 21, he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea. And he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so you may fear the Lord your God forever. See, God's work in our lives should be evident enough that people see God's work. I have a trunk full of old trophies and things, and that's where most of that stuff came from. It sits in a trunk. And I have a trunk full of these things, and occasionally I'll get them out, and my kids will look through those, and they'll ask me questions. And I'll love to tell the stories, and tell the stories about Eddie, this guy that used to be in junior high that played sports. And I like to tell those stories. And if you come to my house, you'll notice that I have some animal heads on my walls in different places. Most of them belong to my children. And if you ask me about them, they're not just about having animal heads on my wall, but they're all a story, a memory of something. And I love to talk about those stories. And as much as I like to talk about sports, and I like to talk about the glory days, if you want to call them that, not so glorious, but being on my championship team that I played a half an inning all year on, right? As much as I like to talk about that, as much as I like to tell hunting stories, and you can corner me and I'll talk about hunting, as much as I like to do that, I love to talk about my Savior. And I love to talk about what God has done in my life, and what I've seen God do in the lives of people, and how I've seen God change lives and carry people through difficult times. I love to share those stories. That God can change people. God changed me. God made me a completely different person. And God can carry me through, and he's got his plan and purpose for my life. And he has that for you as well. And these are testimonies that we share and that we have to have as an example. In verses 21 and 22, he says, have this as an example to your children, parents. Parents, we have a responsibility to nourish the faith of our children. That is something that God has told us to do. If we are inconsistent in our faith, then we're going to produce children that have inconsistent faith. It's just a reality. We have to be consistent in our faith. Church, we have all of these children that come up here during this children's message. In church, we're responsible for the spiritual nourishment of our children, to show them about a God who loves them and to build a spiritual foundation in their lives. And we need to have these faith conversations with our children. I find this a little bit humorous in this passage, is where my mind goes. It says that as they see this, tell your children about the God who parted the Jordan and the God who parted the Red Sea. And I can just see one of these kids at the children's message saying, well, what did you guys do between parting of the Red Sea and parting of the Jordan? Kind of wandered aimlessly and were very disobedient and didn't trust God very much and saw God's punishment. Those are kind of the things that happened. But even those conversations are important. Those conversations are important to see the faithfulness of God even in times when maybe we aren't so faithful. And it should be an example to the world, the nations. They knew about Israel and they knew about Israel's God. He had a reputation of being there for his people. He had a reputation, the God that parted the Red Sea was now parting the Jordan. The people of Jericho were fearful because they knew who God was. And we need to be willing to take the time to share about what God has done and take time to tell our story of God's faithfulness. Spend time sharing the praises of God and telling the story. I picture the Israelites here. It says that they're on the other side. And I had this picture in my mind of them sitting under the stars that first night in the Promised Land, uncertain about their future, not knowing exactly what lies ahead, seeing all the land in front of them that is not yet conquered as they see the direction that they're going, not knowing what tomorrow is going to be like. And then they turn and they see those 12 stones on the banks of the Jordan. And they see those 12 stones as a reminder of the great God that they serve. A God that they know that they can trust, and a God they know that's going to be there, and that they're going to be okay. And the future is going to be okay because it's all in his hands. Make no mistake, just like the Israelites, we are on a mission. There is a future and there is a purpose. And we need to remember that we're following and walking with the God who holds all things in his hands and build those memories in our life. Memorial stones, looking at God's faithfulness, gathering strength for our future, prepared for what he has done for us. let me invite you to consider a few things. Maybe you are here this morning and you're in the midst of a crisis. Maybe you are here this morning and you are struggling with your faith. Maybe you're here and you're questioning, why is God doing what God is doing? And this morning you maybe need to take some time and consider the faithfulness of God in the past and maybe the faithfulness of God in the future. Maybe have some conversations to be reminded of that. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with your future, not knowing what tomorrow is going to hold. Maybe you're at some point in your life where you're not sure what you're doing tomorrow. Your future is uncertain. And this morning, you need to come before God and say, God, even though I have no idea what my future is, God, I can trust in you, and I'm putting it in your hands. Maybe you're here and you realize that you need to allow your life to be used by God as an example, that you need to be the person who tells the story about what God is doing. I'm going to challenge you this morning to not just build memorial stones in your life for yourself, but to share those with others. If you are here this morning and you need to lay some things at the cross, at the feet of Jesus, and you need to spend some time quietly in prayer where you are and beg and ask God to just remind you of his faithfulness, you do that. But as we look at this very practical idea of memorial stones, consider a faithful God that'll be faithful in the future and the struggle of walking through life with him.
So why should